Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back in to a brand new episode of the show. Happy Monday. It is game day all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by Pepsi. Made for football watching. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, the Broncos Titans do battle tonight, and Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi is made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode of Locked On Broncos, it's your game day preview that's going to lead you up to kickoff tonight when the Broncos host the Tennessee Titans in Empire Field at Mile High on ESPN. Brian Greasy, Steve Levy, and Louis Riddick on the call, plus your Locked On Broncos post-game report on tomorrow's episode of the show. But we're going to run through the game day preview here today. We're going to take a look at who is in, who is out. Plus, we take a look at the AFC West recap inside the division. How did the Raiders, how did the Chiefs, how did the Chargers do in their games over this weekend and Thursday Night Football? How does it impact the pressure maybe the Broncos may face early on, considering they've got some time before they play their first divisional game? Plus, we take a look at three players that Broncos fans need to keep an eye on in tonight's matchup against the Titans, and keys to the game in order for the Broncos to successfully come out on top. What do they have to do in this game against Tennessee? We break all that down on today's action. Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the show at Locked On Broncos. Like us on Facebook and Twitter. We are there for you every single day for daily exclusive Broncos content. But ladies and gentlemen, let's kick off our Denver Broncos pregame show here on today's episode, Locked On Broncos, diving into the injury report. Who is in, who is out, and who is truly questionable? We're going to start things off here with the Broncos' newest addition at linebacker, Mark Barron. He is out of tonight's matchup against the Titans with a hamstring injury. He did not practice at all last week at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. Dealing with the hamstring issue that he dealt with, he suffered it in the stadium scrimmage last Friday at Empire Field at Mile High, and he was expected to be the Broncos' coverage linebacker in passing situations, and more than likely against Tennessee, considering their style of offense. They may not need that necessarily this week, because when it is third and short, when it is second and short, they love to run the football with Derrick Henry. They may not change that up. They may go with their bread and butter. But if the Broncos do get bit by some play-action passes, if there is some passing situations where the Broncos are struggling, then they may need to adjust going forward. But as of right now, the expectation is that Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson will play a bulk of the snaps at inside linebacker. Mark Barron may have to wait till next week to make his debut against the team he played for last year, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Von Miller out as well. He had successful surgery over the weekend, and he posted a message on social media saying that he has hope that he can return this season. The timeline right now is not quite clear for Miller, but overall he is wishing his teammates luck tonight. Bradley Chubb, the other outside linebacker opposite of Von Miller normally, has been dealing with that soreness coming off of ACL surgery, was limited in practice on Thursday, but Friday and Saturday he was a full go. He is going to start tonight against the Tennessee Titans, and Malik Reed is going to start opposite him more than likely for the Broncos here. And Vic Fangio said that Bradley Chubb looks ready to go. It will be interesting to see if he is on a pitch count for tonight's matchup as well, so something to keep an eye on if you are a Broncos fan. But some good news on the offensive line front of things for this Broncos team. One of their key offseason acquisitions, Graham Glasgow, who twisted his ankle up in a stadium scrimmage 2 weeks ago, he is expected to start. He was a full go in practice on Friday and Saturday. He will play this evening against the Titans. This will be big for the Broncos, really trying to get their running game going between Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, Royce Freeman. And having him healthy, I think, is great, because he's been an Ironman in his NFL career for the Detroit Lions, and now he has a chance to carry on that torch as a Denver Bronco. But one Broncos player who is not yet out, but he is considered doubtful for this matchup, he's listed on the report as questionable, but Broncos head coach Vic Fangio said that he's more on the side of being doubtful, and that's wide receiver KJ Hamler. The Broncos' second-round rookie wide receiver from Penn State has a hamstring issue he's been dealing with in camp, was limited on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in practice, and hamstrings are very tricky. Just one wrong move and it could set you back, and you could lose 3 to 4 more weeks. He is on the side of being doubtful, so the Broncos not rushing KJ Hamler back into the fray here for this Broncos team in their season debut against the Titans. Broncos rookie tight end Albert Okwuegbunam has been dealing with an ankle injury, was limited in Thursday's practice, but was a full go in both Friday and Saturday's practice overall. But Broncos head coach Vic Fangio says that Okwuegbunam will be available if needed, because the Broncos right now have Nick Vannett, Noah Fant, and Jake Budd ahead of him on the depth chart at the tight end position, and more than likely will be utilizing three of those tight ends actively in the game on the offensive side of the ball. So Albert Okwuegbunam might have to wait to make his on-field debut for the Broncos in terms of seeing meaningful snaps on the field, but something to keep an eye on overall. Now, quite arguably, the biggest question here for this Broncos team coming into this matchup is the status of Courtland Sutton, who has a sprained AC joint in his shoulder, did not participate in Friday or Saturday's practice. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio did mention, though, that if he can do 10 jumping jacks before the game and warm-ups, that's a good sign that maybe he can go, so he's truly questionable. But I would not be surprised if the Broncos held Sutton out of this matchup, considering it is week one. They've already lost a key defensive player in Von Miller. There's no point of risking losing your star wide receiver as well, so they may just be cautious. They may just ease him back in. He may or may not play tonight. I would be surprised if he did, but if he does, and that obviously goes to show how tough he is. Mike Williams, a Chargers wide receiver, also has a sprained AC joint in his shoulder, played on Sunday as well, but his isn't as fresh as Sutton's was. So keeping an eye on that. But the Broncos, if Sutton can't go, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton will pick up the slack for this Broncos team on offense. In terms of the Tennessee Titans, a couple key players to keep an eye on that are out. Adoree Jackson, cornerback, is out with a knee injury, as well as Darrington Evans, a rookie running back who is supposed to be a dynamic weapon out of the backfield in passing situations. Corey Davis, a wide receiver, is truly questionable for tonight's matchup, and also Vic Beasley is out alongside Derek Robertson, outside linebacker, and Jamel Douglas, offensive lineman, is out as well. So the Titans coming into this matchup banged up as well. And that is your injury report heading into tonight's matchup against the Tennessee Titans, Empire Field at Mile High. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to take a look at the AFC West recap from over the weekend. How did the Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders fare? We take a look at that coming up in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at DoorDash and Roman. But with DoorDash, between the never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. So give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal, especially tonight, because it is Monday Night Football. Have your favorite restaurant delivered to you so you can watch the game in peace without having to worry about doing dishes or other things. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is very easy. All you got to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off settings. And with over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos and choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, or the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery, so just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. So right now, our listeners of Lockdown Broncos can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And let me also tell you about the other sponsor of today's episode of the show. That's our good friends over there at Roman. And talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy for men. Usually, guys just brush it off or blame themselves by saying, I lost my mojo, or they avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, it's safe, and it's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan possible. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it out to you with a free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Now let's get into our AFC West recap from over the weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs opened up the season on Thursday Night Football. They came out to an impressive victory over the Houston Texans, 34-20, to go up 1-0 on the season. The Broncos, for instance, their first divisional matchup won't be till Week 7 against the Kansas City Chiefs at Empire Field at Mile High. Then they'll play the other AFC West divisional teams in the second half of the season following the bye week. So they'll play the Raiders twice, and they'll play the Chargers twice in a span of the final stretch of the season. They'll play the Chiefs as well in a cold, snowy, more than likely snowy December game as well. So Kansas City gets off to a hot start there. Obviously still the team to beat in the National Football League. Inside the AFC West, they're always the favorites, and they still have a skill set of players. The new addition of Clyde Edwards-Helaire was something that we all got to see. We all got to see the debut of him. It was impressive, and it's just another weapon for that Kansas City Chiefs offense. So you're going to have to make hay and hopefully grow your offense to where you, as a Denver Broncos fan, can hope that this Broncos offensively can match Kansas City touchdown for touchdown if that's the case. But it really just depends on how you scheme against them when they go empty. That's going to be a tough test. But the Broncos will have to worry about that for quite some time now, so we won't focus too much on that because you got to focus on Tennessee, which is tonight, Empire Field, Mile High. In terms of the AFC West continuing here, the Las Vegas Raiders got off to a pretty hot start as well, 34-30 victory over the Carolina Panthers to go up 1-0. And some of my key takeaways from this game: the passing offense there for the Raiders, it was usually what we've seen it to be, the quick passing offense, but really where they made their hay was on the ground game with Josh Jacobs. And that offensive line for the Las Vegas Raiders, they were pushing Carolina back. Now, part of me is wondering, it is week one. Do we overreact and say that, well, maybe the Raiders are a really good football team this year? Or do we wait and see a couple of weeks to see if they can maintain what they did? Because when I look at Carolina, they were very young on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they really went all defense in the NFL draft this year under Matt Rhule, and there was one questionable decision. It was fourth and inches, and the Carolina Panthers had a chance to convert, move the chains, and potentially win this game. They go with a fullback handoff rather than getting the ball to Christian McCaffrey on fourth and inches, and that's what lost them the game. It was very questionable, but obviously the Raiders putting up 34 points in their season opener against the Panthers. Panthers, I think, are still going to be a tough team offensively to compete against no matter who you are in the NFL. They still have a lot of talent on that side of the ball there. But overall, looking at that Raiders defense, you got guys flying around, Jonathan Abram constantly just flexing. I mean, every time, you know, a running back gets a first down, he's always making some sort of energetic gesture. I like Abram as a football player, but obviously going to be, you know, a key player to watch when the Broncos play them, you know, in a long, long time from now. But outside of that, the Raiders, they go up 1-0 in the division as well. And then the Los Angeles Chargers, you know, a team that really surprised me on Sunday because I expected more from them and I didn't get it as an analyst. They win 16-13 over the Cincinnati Bengals, and Joe Burrow almost spoiled what they had going on defensively. Now, in comparison, looking at Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, Jerry Tillery, and that defense, they were able to sack Joe Burrow multiple times, but Joe Burrow almost led a game-winning drive. Unfortunately, the field goal kicker missed you know, what would have tied it up. You know, they were in the goal line situation. He threw a touchdown to A.J. Green, but there was offensive pass interference on Green. So the Chargers in week one, they hold off and get lucky in terms of where Cincinnati was at. Now, I don't know whether or not I'm surprised with how Cincinnati played offensively or if I'm surprised at how Los Angeles played at all. I was not very impressed with the Chargers offense, but, you know, the rookie Josh Kelly, a running back, he is a guy that keeps moving, and he looks like he's going to be their bulk back there. Austin Eckler, still that gadget player for them as an elusive back. But outside of that, wasn't too impressed so far in the season opener with the Chargers, and the Broncos won't play them for quite some time. So obviously not something that Broncos fans should really worry about. We're going to keep an eye on the AFC West as the season progresses through here. But I want to transition now to three players that I think everybody needs to watch. I'm also going to give an honorable mention in this in tonight's match against the Tennessee Titans. First off, I want to start off with Noah Fant. He's going to be one of the key players I think Broncos fans and NFL fans that are listening to this podcast, I think they really need to take a look at, and they need to evaluate, you know, where he's going to be. Because here's the deal: if Cortland Sutton does not play, that takes away a receiving option for Drew Lock in the Broncos offense. Jerry Jeudy slides over to the number one wide receiver position. Tim Patrick goes to the number two, and then you got Deshaun Hamilton more than likely in the slot. And you're going to see Deshaun Hamilton and Jerry Jeudy interchangeable inside the slot as well. You might see Fred Brown come up from the practice squad. You just never know at this point in time. I'd actually expect to see more Tyree Cleveland, the Broncos' seventh-round rookie pick, before I see Fred Brown on the football field tonight for the Broncos. He's going to be a key special teams player. Obviously, keep an eye on him. But Noah Fant, and the reason I say keep an eye on Noah Fant is because the attention I think Jerry Jeudy will receive if he is the primary receiver for the Broncos, if Sutton doesn't go, and even if Sutton plays, Jeudy and Sutton are going to see a lot of attention here from that Titans defense. And without Adoree Jackson, that takes away a coverage cornerback option for them. Noah Fant is going to find himself open. Generally, I think he might be the one player that's in the most fruitful position right now entering our pregame show, where he will see probably some more offensive looks in comparison to other players, and he may have to take advantage of those, and hopefully Drew Lock can be able to acknowledge it, because I imagine the safety is going to cheat down to the box if the Broncos really get the run game going, and then you're going to see Noah Fant on those vertical routes, the crossing patterns. We saw the Broncos open it up off the play action last year. Imagine Noah Fant coming across about 7 to 8 yards across the field, being caught, you know, catching a drag pass and then taking it upfield. We could see that. We might see some more vertical shots here. We may even see a tight end screen here to Noah Fant. Probably not the wheel around that we saw in the season opener last year against the Oakland Raiders at the time. You're not going to see any of those reverses with Noah Fant, but you're going to see some tight end screens. So keep an eye on Fant to have a fruitful offensive performance in tonight's matchup against the Titans. But I want to focus my sights now on the defensive side of the ball and keep an eye. I know as cliche as it may sound, but Jarrell Casey, a player who played for the Tennessee Titans last year, has a big chip on his shoulder, is taking this game very, very personally. And I think everybody's so focused right now on Von Miller being out for the Broncos. Malik Reed's more than likely going to get the start, going to be there on the outside edge opposite of Bradley Chubb. You're going to see Jeremiah Tauchu coming in and contributing as well. I think everyone's worried about the edge rush, but I think also Broncos fans, I think NFL fans in general, should be watching the Broncos' interior pass rush because of a guy like Jarrell Casey and Mike Purcell. Now, I think Mike Purcell is going to be the type of guy that's going to command some double teams because of his size. He's going to be lined up in a one tech. I think you're going to see Jarrell Casey lined up in a five and also a three tech. And I think you're going to see him have more one-on-one opportunities. But don't be surprised if you see the Broncos come out in more of a nickel package to start off the game. And look for some of those tackle and twists, and also blitzing the inside linebacker. The Broncos against the Titans last year consistently blitzed Alexander Johnson and Todd Davis inside the A gap while they had the defensive tackle cross over into the B gap. It creates that free space, that free lane on the inside. And you're going to get those opportunities to get after Ryan Tannehill. And if there's anybody that may know how to get there, it might be a guy like Jarrell Casey, who's got a little bit of extra fuel for this matchup. So I'm keeping an eye on Jarrell Casey as well. Another defensive player I'm keeping my eye on here is Bryce Callahan, making his Denver Broncos debut. Didn't play at all last year for the Broncos with that foot injury, and now he's making his debut inside the slot in the Broncos nickel. He's going to be the starter for the Broncos on the outside in the base package when they do go 3-4, when they go three down linemen, two outside backers, and then just two cornerbacks and two safeties. You're going to see Callahan on the boundary side, which is the short side of the field. Keep an eye on him, especially if Corey Davis does play. I imagine he'll play a lot with Corey Davis. Outside of that, I think we're going to see A.J. Boye against A.J. Brown, the Tennessee Titans' second-year wide receiver, who was very impressive last season for them overall. And potentially also Khalif Raymond, too. You got to keep an eye on that. So keep an eye on Bryce Callahan. He will see some opportunities. I think Broncos fans are going to see what he could bring to the table. And I'm going to throw a little bit of an honorable mention in here as well. Malik Reed, obviously starting in place of Von Miller. Keep an eye on him. The Broncos like him. And obviously there's a reason he was an undrafted gem out of Nevada last year. Made his mark in the preseason here for the Broncos and demonstrates the ability to rush the quarterback effectively. And not a lot of people have talked about it, but Malik Reed has had a very strong training camp here for the Broncos. Now he's got to carry it over into the regular season, where he's going to have a lot of expectations. The spotlight's going to be on him to at least kind of replicate a little bit of what Von Miller may do. Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. We're going to get into our keys to the game. What are some of the things that the Broncos have to do in order to come away with a victory tonight against the Tennessee Titans with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry coming to town? We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, and that's our good friends over there at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. They are back. They are better than ever. They're new and improved, and they're even more delicious than ever before, featuring 18 amazing flavors and 6 new ones like cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and even apple almond crisp. If you're like me and you like variety, you like some of the old school flavors as well, they have German chocolate, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and toffee almond. Those are some of my go-tos that I utilize. And I love Built Bar because not only are they a great, delicious treat, they're covered in 100% chocolate, they're soft and they're easy to chew, but they're also great for those who are health conscious like myself. I'm constantly maintaining and monitoring what I'm putting inside of my body, but I also like a good, delicious treat, and it helps me lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat with Built Bar. The Built Bar bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, and great for any kind of diet that you may be on. They feature 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. And right now, you can get a free cooler with your purchase of Built Bar today, only while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. LockedOnBroncos.com. Continuing our Locked On Broncos pregame show, Broncos Titans here tonight. We are here to bring you through the X's and O's, some of the things you need to keep an eye on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and Spotify. Just want to thank the listeners of Locked On Broncos who tune in every day. And if you are a brand new listener of the show, stay along for the ride because we bring you daily exclusive Denver Broncos content, X's and O's analysis. We break down all the storylines in Dove Valley from an objective standpoint in a way that not many other people do here exclusively daily. Locked On Broncos. Let's get into our keys of the game here tonight for the Broncos. In order for them to come out on top with a victory, there's a variety of things that they must accomplish. And some of these may sound cliche, but the reality is the Broncos in history have not been able to do it continuously. And we're going to take a look at some of the references from last season into this season. First things first, when we take a look at what the Broncos need to do, I think they have to be better, and this is obvious. In the red zone, they also have to do better on first down situations. Last year for the Broncos, offensively, they were one of the bottom-ranked teams overall when it came to third down. When it came to other areas of the game, like conversion in the red zone, they've got to be better. Red zone overall, they were 47.6%. That was 28th in the National Football League last season, and on third down, they were 31.6 conversion percentages overall across the board. That's 30th in the NFL. They've got to do better on third down situations. And some of the times, too, it's even the third and shorts where the Broncos last season just had some mistakes that would either back them up due to a penalty or just poor execution across the board. If the Broncos can go at least 42%, 43% on third down in this evening's game, the chances bode well for them. And if they can convert on at least 50 to 56% of their red zone attempts, coming away with a touchdown or a field goal percentage, that's a drastic boost in comparison to last year. Now, ideally, you want that to be 60 to 70%, heck, even 100%, ideally, if you can really get it that way. But it's really rare that NFL teams go 100% in the red zone week one. But if they can get that percentage at about 60 to maybe 75%, that's a good percentage and a step in the right direction for them overall. For me, it's going to be interesting. On the flip side, the Broncos were one of the best red zone defenses in the NFL last season, only allowing 39.1% touchdowns on all drives by opposing teams. That right there, if they can build on that and maintain that, I think they're going to be in a strong suit. I think defensively, the Broncos are better on paper right now in 2020 than they were in 2019, especially in that secondary. How are some of the young guys going to fit in as well? Defensively, though, the Broncos on third down, they were okay last year. They were 13th overall in the National Football League, only allowing 37.4% conversions on third down. Actually, that's pretty good in terms of the top. You have the top tier on the top five, then you have the second tier from about 6 all the way to about 15. They're in that tier 2 overall when it comes to that third down completion percentage allowed by opposing offenses. The Broncos got to shore up there. If they could do that, I think they have a strong chance to win this football game here. Those are obviously the cliche ones, but one of the ones I think the Broncos really need to do, they need to establish the run game early on. And I think a perfect balance of Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay together, doesn't matter who gets the first carry, doesn't matter who gets the first catch, if the Broncos can move the ball effectively, average about maybe 4.2 yards per play or even 3.9 yards per play in terms of rushing the football, not passing, that would not be a very good formula, but rushing the ball 3.9 to 4.2 yards per carry, the Broncos can have some success offensively. And I think with the offensive line, they have the ability now with Graham Glasgow at the right guard position and Dalton Risner at left guard, they can pull to the right side of the field, they can pull to the left side of the field. They could not pull to the left side of the field from the right guard position last year because Ron Leary was injured and wasn't as mobile. Graham Glasgow is mobile. You do have to wonder a little bit about that ankle. Obviously, he was a full go in practice this past weekend, so he should be 100% ready to go. But the Broncos do have a new value that they can have running the ball. I see a lot of trap being something. I see a stretch plays. I see toss plays, and I see some inside runs, whether you go power, whether you go inside dive. I think the Broncos have some options there, and I think it's going to really be predicated off of their run game, not to mention, too, the use of a hybrid tight end fullback. You're going to see Jake Butt. You're going to see Noah Fant be some of the lead blockers on some plays here for the Broncos in the rushing game. They got to be able to do that. If the Broncos can also be plus three on takeaways, if they can reduce turnovers, if they don't turn the football over, they're going to be in great hands. But obviously, I think for the Broncos defensively, generating at least one or two takeaways will be key for them overall. You got to be able to force a turnover. You got to get stops. And I think for the Broncos last year, there was just so many games where they were inconsistent high and low here. But if they can get one or two takeaways in this game and not turn the ball over themselves, the chances of them winning increase drastically. So keep an eye on that. But in terms of going against Derrick Henry, Henry and Ryan Tannehill look. You got to compress the edge of the line of scrimmage with Bradley Chubb and Malik Reed. You can even bring some extra box help in with Kareem Jackson at the safety position. If you go nickel, you can have your nickel guy, Bryce Callahan. It could be Michael Ojemudia. It could be Asang Bassey. Those guys can also be extra edge help because Tennessee loves to run that stretch play. They love to run toss, and they also love to run counter. You have to be able to compress the edge of that line of scrimmage downward, and I think with the additions of Jarrell Casey on the interior, you have Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson, who are run-stopping linebackers. I think the Broncos really have to compress the edge and then fill on the interior A gaps, and they also got to be able to stunt and slant a little bit. They got to be able to mix things up a little bit because you're going to see Tennessee try to get creative. They're going to fake a handoff. They're going to go play action. You got to have the guys on the back end of that secondary ready to cover. I think the Broncos have the coverage guys to be able to do it against the personnel out of 11 personnel that Tennessee runs. That's their primary offensive set is out of 11. One running back, one tight end, and then three wide receivers. The Broncos, I think, have the pieces to match up really well with them. The key is going to be coming down to tackling and making sure that you can get off the field on third down. To me, that's going to be the biggest key to the game. Can the Broncos come in and tackle without any preseason games? So far, we've seen some sloppy defense in terms across the National Football League with players not necessarily having the greatest tackling performances. I think in the AFC West, you can look at a lot of teams, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Raiders, for example, as well. Those teams struggle stopping the run because of tackling, bad tackling. It wasn't because there were guys out of position. It's just whiffing and arm tackling. And you can't arm tackle a guy like Derrick Henry. If you do that, it's going to be a long day. But the Broncos season is finally here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to have a complete recap on tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos, our post-game report. We're going to hear from coaches. We're going to hear from players. We're going to recap the game. What are our key takeaways? Patrick Keyote and myself break down the action on tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos. Make sure you check it out on your favorite podcast provider. I'm Cody Rourke. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Make sure you follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. But with that said, Broncos country, Broncos, Titans kickoff this evening, the late game. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick, they have you covered on the call on ESPN, and we have you covered on the post-game report. Tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos. We'll see you then.